Today on VR Coven, VR adoption breaks a new record. Developers are raking in the cash, and ancient VR tease returns. PlayStation hints at a future spectator mode, and we start a conversation about how we'll finally believe that VR has made it into the big leagues. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's such a pleasure to see you here at the VR Coven. I'm Michael Leonard, your host for the evening, afternoon, or morning. And let's get started on the latest virtual reality news for the 3rd of February, 2021. According to Upload VR, Steam users with a VR headset passes 2% for the first time. Probably has something to do with the holidays, a lot of people getting gifts, opening up their gifts and seeing VR in there. You know, for me, for instance, I was out of a job for a good portion of last year, and then I snagged a job, and the first thing I did was purchase a VR headset. But one of the key driving factors, it appears, is the Oculus Quest 2. Oculus headsets now make up 58% of those on Steam. And this is going to be a driving point. The Oculus Quest 2 is extremely cheap. Not everyone can throw out a bunch of money for the Valve Index or the HTC Vive. But as Facebook has proven through the development of the Oculus Quest 2, people are craving VR. They just can't afford it. And can you blame them after 2020? Back in March of 2020, the first data from Valve's new surveying method revealed VR adoption was at 1.29%. So while it's not a massive leap, it is technically a massive leap. Not only that, but recently Valve just updated the January data, giving Quest 2 its own row. It used to just be contained within Other. So the Oculus Quest is, but for better or worse, expanding the technology and the reach that VR deserves. We can sit here and debate nonstop whether or not Facebook deserves that, but they're beating the competition in ways that the competition just cannot seem to get a hold of. What I would love to see is Valve, Samsung, or even HTC come out with something that is cheaper and more affordable that might be a little less pristine, a little less refined. And for all we know, they are probably working hard on reducing the overall costs. But the problem with these prestige VR companies is that they hold it to such a high standard that I find it hard to see at least Valve stepping down a few notches, simply because they are the granddaddies. I guess I shouldn't say granddaddies. They are the forefathers of this iteration of VR, and they don't want to drag their little baby through the mud, even if that is the correct thing to do. But we'll have to see in a year if I'm right or wrong. Let me know what you think. Next up, another article from Upload VR. You'll see that as a trend. Until You Fall, Phantom, and more make over $1 million on Quest. So here we go again, a little bit of a theme going on this episode with Facebook dominating the VR space. Not only are they dominating the technological side of things, they're also dominating the headlines. According to the article, more VR developers are coming forward to confirm they've made over $1 million in revenue on the Oculus Quest platform. Yesterday, Facebook confirmed that over 60 titles had passed that milestone. That's pretty impressive. At the same time, the company confirmed a few games like Onward and Population 1 were included in that list, and other studios like Resolution Games have revealed that their own titles made the cut too. Since then, many more studios have come forward with their successful apps. Among them are Shell Games' Until You Fall and I Expect You to Die. I love Until You Fall. I have not yet played I Expect You to Die, but hey, you know what? It's on the list. In Dreams Phantom, Covert Ops, Otters Labs, O-Shape, Fast Travel Games' Apex Construct, Alden Dynamics' Waltz of the Wizard, Golf Scope's Top Golf with Pro Putt, and Klug Interactive's Synth Riders. Now, once again, we're seeing a massive domination of the VR space by Facebook, and all this news is going to do is incentivize more developers to gravitate toward the Oculus Quest and the other headsets that they offer. When I mention the Valve Index, my mom gets a glazed over look, but I bet that if I mention the Facebook Oculus Quest 2, despite it being a mouthful, she'd probably be more able to grasp onto what the hell I'm talking about, right? Oh, what else do we have here? Here we go. We are keeping with trends, although this one has nothing to do with the Oculus Quest. Another article from Upload VR says, yes, PC VR World War II shooter Blunt Force is still in development. According to the article, in case you were wondering, yes, long in development PC VR shooter Blunt Force is still in the works, over 4 years after its reveal. Developer Monad Rock. Monad. Man, I'm really good at oh my god. I just need to stop. Took to Twitter today for the first time in nearly a year, confirming that the game is still in the works. Blunt Force is a World War II era VR shooter that was initially announced all the way back in December 2016. After years of silence, we'd begun to think the game was canceled until it resurfaced with a surprise demo during June's Steam Game Festival in 2020. But following that demo, the game again fell off the radar. Today's tweet reassures that the developer is constantly working on the game, and it was recently upgraded to Unreal Engine 4.26. How's that for granular information? Sadly, there's still no word on when the game might get a full release, nor if it might come to other platforms beyond PC, but we remain hopeful. Last summer's demo showcased decent visuals but some clunky gameplay, but the studio warned the demo was outdated. We're keeping our fingers crossed that the game not only comes out, but is actually worth playing once it's here. Now, this is Michael, speaking for himself now. When you release a demo and there are complaints about it being clunky and just okay visuals, maybe the first thing you shouldn't say, or maybe we should applaud them for saying this, that it's outdated? You want to show off your brand new spiffy VR game, but you don't have the time or the effort to tweak it or update it to the latest build? Honestly, this reminds me in a lot of ways to a non-VR game that was set to come out what feels like a millennia ago called Cube World. It was supposed to be kind of an early access game before early access was truly a thing, where the developers would constantly update it, think Minecraft, but it just never came out. There was a lot of issues with the development after the initial alpha release of it. Hackers got a hold of their servers and wreaked havoc, if memory serves correctly, and then the developers just went kind of silent. And that seems to be what's happening here, perhaps not to a one-to-one degree, but more so that the developer keeps popping in and out of existence. And what that does for this developer is nothing. It does absolutely nothing for the developer. And it does nothing for the game. If you keep popping up randomly once a year and you say, hey, we updated to this really trivial Unreal Engine update, and we're still working on the game, or you release a demo where it's just garbage, well, guess what? People are only going to remember you for giving these really tedious updates and giving them nothing but garbage to consume. And for me, with VR being such a niche subject, I'm probably going to be a little more stingy with the money that I put out there for games. And if I hear bad news or no news about a particular game, I'm going to avoid it. You can guarantee I'm going to avoid it. I already do that with normal games, which are relatively cheaper and sometimes offer leaps and bounds more content. But once again, we'll see in a year when they pop up. According to VR Scout, PlayStation teases non-VR spectator mode in new patent. According to the article, the patent filed by Sony Interactive Entertainment Inc. back in October of 2020 shows the company has been experimenting with technology that would allow those not in VR to participate in immersive experiences using a method that includes augmenting the VR scene based on the spectator inputs in response to the interactive content of the audience participation device. Put simply, this spectator system would give audience members the opportunity to interact with the in-game world in real time, letting them play an active role in the experience despite being outside a VR headset. I'm going to cut it right there real quick before we dive back into the rest of the article. I think that this is the way forward, especially with most of the VR headsets ranging closer to the $1,000 to even $1,200 range. We're going to see a lot more experimentation with a mix of VR and regular play. And I think it's the way to go. Specifically, these VR companies want it to be engaging enough that it convinces people that they definitely want to also invest in VR, but not too engaging that, well, what's the point in me having a VR headset if I can just have as much fun hanging out on your couch while you're swinging a sword around madly? Oh, where was I? The technology sounds eerily similar to Sony's PlayLink, a multiplayer game service for the PlayStation 4 that allows players to engage in a variety of quizzes and immersive games using compatible smartphones and tablets. If we had to guess, we assume this recently patented technology would offer an experience close to that of the PlayLink, with spectators making decisions that impact the virtual world. According to the patent, a computer-implemented method for processing operations for integrating audience participation content into VR content presented by a head-mounted display of an HMD user is provided. The method includes providing a VR scene for the HMD. The method includes providing a VR scene to the HMD of the HMD user and receiving indications from one or more spectator devices of respective one or more spectators. Wow, am I just reading gobbledygook? Am I just reading word soup right now? The indications corresponding to requests for audience participation content for participating. This is a direct quote from the patent. I'm done reading this. The thing that I wanted to talk about is the included photo, which shows individuals voting on the TV screen for what the VR user would experience. Like, you know, if they're going to face off against a monster, if they're going to get some loot, so on and so forth. And I think that's probably the most basic way to represent what is possible with this form of entertainment. I don't really know how the patenting process works because I've never patented anything and I've really never had to think about it, but it just seems like if this is the taste of what they're thinking of doing with it, I really hope that they think wider and broader. If they're patenting this, I'm assuming that means that they really want to get a grip on this form of media. And if all I get to do is vote, well, that's not going to be fun. Now, I'm sure you're saying, while you're listening to this, Michael, that's probably not all that they're hoping to do with it. But I also know Sony, especially with their VR headset, they weren't necessarily the most innovative. I just hope that if they are moving forward with this, which there's no guarantee that they will, they strive towards innovation. Have me be the villain that's facing off against the guy who's in VR. That would be a blast, just taking the controller and whacking on him and driving him crazy or throwing things in front of them while they're trying to escape. There was a game that I saw on Steam, which I am currently blanking on. Of course I am, because I need it right now. For our first ever conversation starter, I wanted to ask you, what does VR growth look like to you? Some of the news articles from today focused on how virtual reality continues to grow, slowly but surely. However, how will you know when VR has officially landed? Maybe it already has. Perhaps it's a long way off. For me, the main signal that VR has arrived will be when news becomes less proliferated by new technical data, motion sickness problems being a quiet whisper, and audiences seek a deeper integration within their own lives. So what does that even mean? I'm talking about what we've seen with movies, television, video games, and that specific order even. Whether we like it or not, VR will have cemented itself when specs become secondary to zeitgeist. when we perceive VR as a part of pop culture rather than an offshoot, with like real classic games that or experiences that resonate and stick with us. When there are larger than life personalities and developers out there championing it. That's kind of getting closer, I feel like, but we're not there. Once again, I want to hear from you on this. You can reach out to me by sending an email to vr@embercoven.com. That's vr@embercoven.com. Tweeting at embercoven, or even leaving a message on my podcast through the Anchor app. For that matter, just go ahead and send me what you're playing, your favorite VR memories, anything you want me to check out, and I'll make sure to include them. As always and forevermore, I'm Michael Leonard of the VR Coven, and I wish you dark tidings.
This podcast is part of the Ember Coven.